Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast. Scotty and myself are sitting here in a state of depression, Scotty, because not only did we get smashed by four flarks on the weekend, 66 points to nil, it's going to be 5 to 6 years before we're any good team, apparently.
Well, I mean, that's an easy statement to make after you lose 66-0, isn't it? But also, it's a statement, I think, of a clueless man leading us.
Shots fired. First 30 seconds here. I guess the first thought is you look at the Brisbane Broncos, right? They managed to turn around their situation in, I guess you could say, 12 months or 2 years, if you really want to stretch it out to this year. Obviously, Broncos fell away last year, so we need to make sure that doesn't happen again this year. But when you see a turnaround like that, one of the clubs in the NRL, and you hear that coming from the general manager of football at our club, it's really, I guess, disheartening as a paying member and fan and lifelong fan of the club. I don't know how you sell memberships after that.
Well,
how do you get people going, oh, yeah, dipping into the pocket? We will, because that's what we do, but on a larger scale, right? How do you tell people that we're going to be no good for 5 to 6 years, but, hey, please give us, what, $400 for your membership, or maybe more in some cases and less in others, but you get the point I'm making there.
Yeah, no, 100%. And also, add to that, how do you get a marquee player who wants to play finals, who wants to play grand finals, who wants to be an origin side? Because at the moment, we've got one origin player.
How does Reid Marnie and Billy Abbey kick out feel after being sold? Well, we don't know. We're not on the inside of the club. We don't know what the pitch was to get them, but presumably they would have probably been expecting a shorter time frame than that coming to the club, and now they've been told, oh, yeah. It's probably about 5 to 6 years. Hopefully, let's get a little bit optimistic here, Scotty. Hopefully, when Gus says 5 to 6 years, he's talking about premiership.
Mm.
So hopefully we progress at some sort of steady rate over the course of the 5 to 6 years, and we're playing finals in 2 years, if we're going to be a little bit optimistic about it. Eh?
Well, Stephen Crichton might make a phone call after hearing that and going, I'm here next year. I was hoping to play finals next year.
Yeah.
I was hoping to be a regular Blues member. I can't be a regular Blues member if I'm bottom four on the table. So, but also, it is what Gus does. He likes to buy himself some time. He thinks he does that.
That's right. He's just giving himself 5 years. Has he just given himself job security for 5 years?
It's almost like Tim Sheens firing the coach then hiring himself in that situation. I'd love to see an interview between Tim Sheens and Tim Sheens.
I feel like early on, Scotty, already this might be a little bit of a different podcast. We've got to be laughing about it because if not, who knows what we'll be doing. And to bring it back to the game for a second, on Sunday, I don't know about you, but there was moments where I was just laughing. At how pathetic of a performance it was from our side.
Pathetic is very much an understatement. It was not a Bulldogs performance. Booed off at halftime.
I've never seen that before. Not at the Bulldogs.
I've seen that at Tigers.
There's a few other teams that have gone through it.
I think Parrot ages ago.
It's happened quite often around the league, but I've never seen it at a Bulldogs game, not to that extent at least.
30-0 halftime. And then end up losing 66.
It was so audible. I mean, there was times where in the second half, I think it happened twice, where Hayes Perrin picked up the ball and the crowd was you could hear a chorus of boos, which is, it's pretty sad. We weren't doing that. We're not that type of people, I guess, if you want to go that way. But also to turn around and see fans abusing Serrano through the coach's box, that was new. Haven't seen that one.
Yeah, security needing to be there at full time. And kids were in the coach's box. When Serrano snuck out, there were some kids put there. I don't know whose kids they were. But I think to deflect any damage to the coach's box at somewhat. But the thing, 66-0, like, everyone's entitled. You pay your hard-earned money as a member or a general ticket for the day. You're entitled to have your opinions voiced.
Half your day getting out to the game and getting back.
Yeah, you're entitled to, as long as you don't go any antisocial behaviour and attacking people personally. And the booze, you know, they were definitely called for. I've been to games where we've lost 40-0 and stuff, but you can look at a group of players and say, well, it's not by their lack of effort or anything they did wrong in that performance. But you look at us and I think you go Jacob Preston, and that's about it.
Yeah, well,
look, who couldn't?
Just to give it away, we're not giving points out this week. Surprise. Anyone thought that was happening.
You couldn't give it away. We didn't even chat about that before, but yeah. I was thinking maybe Jacob Preston's the only one who can kind of go, hey, there was nothing more I could have done. Unfortunately, there's 16 other players. Or maybe someone like a Raymond Fatala Marin who did barely anything in the game because he was required for very little. I think it was 42-0 or 48-0 when he came onto the field.
We'll touch on a few things, I guess. I haven't really looked, excuse me, too much into it since the game itself, really, to be honest. Don't want to single out too many players because it was a real poor performance by majority of the players. But there was one try. Now, don't ask me when it was, because there was that many tries, it's hard to remember.
11.
When it was. But there was one try where they worked towards our left and just ran at a hole between our right side second rower and our right side half defender. And it wasn't the biggest hole. Both players didn't make an attempt to tackle at all. And the player went through untouched to score a try.
That's Hastings?
Possibly. I know that the defenders were Ockenbore and Raja.
That's tough, yeah.
But just to highlight the effort. Now, I don't know what Kim Serrano was watching, but he said there was more effort in that game than the loss to the Sharks.
No.
He said that in the post-match press conference. But I don't know where he's getting that from, to be perfectly honest. I can't agree with that statement. There was times where it looked like players were out there not even trying. So that was really disappointing. Caleb Ramjan, let's quickly touch on him, I guess, Scotty. Only got through 38 minutes in his first starting game in the NRL before, there's no other way of saying it, being given the hook. Averillo was thrown into the halves and Bernard was switched to the other side of the defence. Jackson Torpedy, poor guy, ends up in the centres again. He never gets a crack at his proper position in the NRL, it seems. And we'll get to this weekend in a minute too. But yeah, that can't bode well for Rajam, right? My thinking there, Scotty, it might be a bit harsh, but I don't see how he gets named to the NRL team again this year.
No, well, let me tell you something about him. He was set up to fail, the poor bugger. And this is hopefully it's a learning curve from Cameron Serrato. But Cameron Serrato has done him the dirty. First of all, you watch New South Wales Cup game and let's not get excited. You know, he's a Bulldogs junior. He's got a good story. He's got a great story. And hopefully he can bounce back for his own well-being. But you watch New South Wales Cup. I could have told you, not even close to being ready. Not even close enough to being at 17. And then we got Gus coming out saying we've been forced to use him. Forced to use him. Hello, there's a guy called Josh Reynolds. There's a guy called Kyle Flanagan.
Yeah.
There is a guy named
Bailey Haywood
who looks better, but he's been given the punt to the bench. Bailey Biondiotto's back. What about an out there one? Farmu Brown, another half. So don't tell me we were forced to use Khaled Raja. So first of all, set up to fail.
Just throw Ola Apu in there as well. He said Ola Apu was thrown in a bit too early. We'll say that on the podcast.
These players thing, but I'll get back to those players in a second as well because they'll go into another point for me, what Gus said. you then go, okay, he's going to start 5'8". In a game, let's put him next to Jaden Ockenball, who boggles my mind that he's a starting second rower, who hasn't played any second row before this year or any forward, and then he's done most of it in top grade. So even if we think he's a second row, learn the craft in cup. There's no shame in putting him in cup and saying, let's put him in the second row and see what he does.
Yeah.
But no, Serrano's got this fascination that he's an NRL stand second row. And if you look at a lot of the tries, a lot of it was awkward. Now, this could be just a person playing out of position or learning his craft. But then you've got a young 5'8 going next to a rookie second rower. Then we Raymond Fatala-Mariner's on the bench. He plays second row. Jackson Topany, who just plays exclusively centre, off the interchange bench, is there. So we can say that we got forced into this thing with forwards being injured and other players being injured throughout the year. But that's a lot of crap. And Serrano's setting him up high and trying to fail. And not even to protect him and maybe try to switch Burton and him at one stage in defence. Or go, wait a second, maybe Ockenball shouldn't be playing that side with him or whatever it is. If we had the Preston's play both sides this year, I know Preston's a young gun himself. There was different options to protect him, but to cut him at just before half time and not even give him to half time break to see if he can make an amends for himself, the poor bugger would have wanted to dig a hole.
Yeah.
And been there.
Jaden Ockenball, the biggest concern about Ockenball playing in the pack is that his tackling technique.
It's terrible.
And there's been times this year where maybe the technique hasn't been there, but the effort has. He's been getting involved and really trying. He looked all at sea on the weekend, unfortunately. That's got to be the end of the Ockenball set. Well, like you said, give him a crack to learn it in a grade below the NRL. We've got so many eyes, but as far as the NRL goes, that's going to be the end of that.
Khalid Roger, Warren Smith. I watched the mini.
Yeah.
Warren Smith made it very clear that
Hold on, you're a braver man than me.
I watched it. He said, bring in the second half. They said, obviously, Avrilo's gone to halves because of the hooking. Not the replacement, not the not the thing. So Cameron Serrano has set him up to fail, and he did, and then he copped the brunt for it. And I could tell you, I think most fans who don't get caught in the emotion would know he's not even close to being ready at top grade. He shouldn't have been chucked in there yet. And if he was chucked in top grade, maybe some bench cameos at best. And Serrano chucked him in and said, we had no other option, but there is plenty of options in New South Wales Cup side that actually have played NRL who would have been better suited. But Serrano and Gus are chucking up the good old excuses, but there's people in New South Wales Cup sitting there who've played top grade.
Well, speaking about experiments coming to an end, Hayes Perham has not been named this week in any of the Bulldogs teams, Cup included, of course. And he had a bit of a rough game, of course, as did many players on Sunday. So looks like the Hayes Perham fullback experiment has come to an end, probably about 6 or 7 weeks late, but looks like that's coming to an end as well.
Hayes struggling big time. You can see the communication even with wingers catching the ball. Even, you know, tidying up the ball hit something he struggled with, like all the basics. Support play, probably the only thing you could probably say was sound. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
So even his best feature at fullback probably wasn't NRL standard.
He's had some pretty good moments with his sidestepping this year.
Sometimes he oversteps.
Support play is good too. Perhaps he's more of a centre than a fullback.
Yeah, and then they said they're playing him out of position.
Probably out of position.
Yeah, and then you go, okay, what do we have? We had Jack Avrilo there the whole year.
Last year.
No, I'm just saying, like, he's in the school this year. Like, he's been
we
in the whole year.
We played fullback all year last year. He started to really go well at that position. We're expecting him to play fullback this year, and then Perham gets thrown in.
Brandon Burns played some quality trial game very well at fullback.
Yeah, so it just seems a little bit all over the place. Carlo Bradjab's a time at fullback in the Littles Cup. So it's just yeah. All over the place at the moment, doesn't it? So 66-0, Newcastle's biggest ever win ever, our biggest ever loss against Newcastle. Disappointing, I guess, for the NRL that it came the same week the Tigers got 74 put on them. So, and 50 on Sharks and Dragons, right? So,
well, we could have got 72. The forward pass try.
We were saying that at halftime, weren't we? We were, what was it, 30-0 at halftime, and we were saying, we're scared this could be 72. And it almost got there.
It wasn't forward. I watched the replay and it didn't look forward. It was just a bursting player into a gap, and I felt like Ziggy, the referee, thought, I'll give the Bulldogs a call here. They need something because they're not showing anything in the fight. I think Ziggy showed more fight for us than any of the players, really. Can we give him a 2 points for trying to keep the Bulldogs in it?
All right, so. There's, I don't really want to spend overly more time going over and over it again because it's not today that we were going to want to forget, right? So, moving on to the New South Wales Cup. Let's go back 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, when we didn't do a podcast because of all the bites, the Bulldogs had a 15-all draw with the Western Suburbs Magpies at Lincoln Oval. That's got to be... It's a late field goal from Bailey Haywood, I believe, to level the game up and get the 1 point for the draw. However, you've got to say that's a pretty disappointing result given where the Bulldogs have been in the New South Wales Cup and where the Magpies are down the bottom of the competition there. And then on the weekend, Scotty's getting the ladder ready for us. The Newcastle Knights smashed us in the New South Wales Cup 38-12, which was... pretty much a surprise to us, wasn't it? We're joking before the day that was a game that we're looking forward to the most. We've joked on this podcast that maybe we should just focus on winning the New South Wales Cup trophy this year. So to see the side put in a really disappointing performance against the Knights at a core stadium was word of the week. It's really disappointing. Little did we know what was to come afterwards.
Yeah, it's very, very, very disappointing. And the further context, Knights are coming second last after that win in the New South Wales Cup, which is 12th. And they knocked off top of the table. We're still first, but we could have cemented it.
Yeah, well, the combined score, Scotty, from this day, Newcastle Knights, New South Wales Cup in the NRL, 104-12 against the Bulldogs. Oh.
I felt like watching the New South Wales Cup, I felt like the Bulldogs were like a bit in a cruise, thinking, if they get to a league, we'll just win it, you know? Mm. I felt like they were thinking, no, we'll get them, we're a better side, and they know they're a better side, and I feel like no one just really put their hand up to actually go, hey, we actually got to do something to get out of here, we can't just rely on us. I don't know, I just had that feeling, it was just like, and then we ran out of time before we could really do anything, and I felt like they probably go, why, how did that happen? You got to earn the right to win. You can't just...
Luckily, we're still first in that competition.
But we could have cemented first by ourselves on points. Because we're Newtown on 25. We could have got away from the Bears on 24 points. So
we need to bounce back in that competition very quickly. Playing South this week too with all sorts of stuff going on with Origin and injuries and droppings and all sorts. So
both teams are weakened. Both teams are weakened.
Jersey Flake, last 2 weeks, Bulldogs defeated the West Tigers 38-28. And last weekend, the Bulldogs got the one up on the Newcastle Knights that we had 36.
In the grade. They're walking into Belmore with their heads up, their chest puffed out, the rest of the squad.
So how does that look on the table here, Scotty?
Well, Jersey Flake, they're coming second on 28 points, played the 15, so they're just below the Roosters, who are on 30 points, but they've played 16 games. Beating the West Tigers, who are sitting second last at 11th, and Knights are sitting at 9th. So they did the job, they they did what was expected from him, so which is good to see. You know, putting away the weaker sides in the competition at the moment. But they're looking good, coming second, just above the Panthers. They've actually broken away from the Panthers. They're on 25 points, sitting third. So there's a bit of a gap between it's the Roosters and the Bulldogs at the moment to claim first. Panthers are just a little bit out of the race at the moment, but never right after Panthers, especially at any grade, especially those under 21s.
Definitely. And over to the Queensland Cup. Western Clydesdales 2 weeks ago had a bye along with the Bulldogs, the NRL level, of course. Last weekend, up against the South Logan Magpies, it was another tough game for the boys up there, losing that game 48 points to 22. So, I believe last time we did a podcast, Scotty, we're coming third last. So, can't imagine that's got any better.
No, it's actually got a little bit worse. We're sitting third last still, but the gap between going from 13th to 12 is now 6 points.
Alrighty.
So it's 3 wins away.
Perfect. And as we said, this weekend in the NRL, in the New South Wales Cup, we take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs at a core stadium as the away team on Saturday night, 7:35, kickoff. Yeah. Don't know how many Bulldogs fans are going to be there.
No, it's quite sad because most teams, and I'd say out of the, that's out of the 17 teams of competition, I'm going to be honest, 15 of the teams will back themselves, or 14 of the teams, because Rabbitohs count as a team here, will back themselves to knock off the Rabbitohs this week and be confident about it. Because the Rabbitohs have no right to win. And then I think when the Rabbitohs looked at the draw, they're thinking, oh, shit, we got the Bulldogs in this origin period. This is going to be difficult. After seeing last week, they're going, yes, we've got the Bulldogs. Arguably the worst team in the competition. How lucky are we to get them in origin period and not anyone else, really?
And look, it's kind of a weird thing for this game to be on this weekend. In the draw with the origin happening, you probably would have liked this sort of to be the week after, crowd-wise.
Yeah, but I think it's they can use the core for the Women's World Cup. I think Wednesday night's the last game for a while because the Bulldogs only play it one more time.
Okay. Anyways, the team, there's been a few changes. At fullback, we now have Jake Amarillo, the player who started at centre last week and finished in the halves. As you do.
A bit of a wing,
Jacob Carraz and Blake Wilson in jersey number 5, who Scotty pointed out before we started recording is jersey number 5 in this one's Cup 2. So
the double trouble for Blakey.
Yeah, he's either playing 160 minutes or the Bulldogs have perfected clothing. Which is good, because if that's the case, let's get a couple more kick-outs, eh?
Without an injury.
Without injuries. Brayden Burns is in the centres. Jackson Taufoli. Oh, no. Oh, we're joking about the fact that he never gets a crack at his proper position in the NRL. He's been named in jersey 4. What is going on? The half, Scotty. Matt Burden. And I've just realised this. The halfback's Toby Sexton. We've got 24 minutes into the podcast. We haven't talked about the signing. So
I'll come later.
We'll get into that. Forwards, Max King, Reed Marnie, and Ryan Sutton. Jaden Lockenbaugh is somehow named in the second row position. Again, Jacob Preston, Raymond Fatala, Mariners, the lock. The bench is Carl Flanagan, Curtis Morin, Tevita Pengai Jr., and Harry Edwards. Reserves of Reese Hoffman. He must be thinking, what do I have to do to get a crack? Carl Ola'apu, who we've been recently told is a lock forward.
And he's injured.
Even though we suspect that his injury shoulder complaints have come from having to defend in the middle of the field at age 18 and being a fairly slight body. Jarrell Skelton, Ethan Quay Ward, who signed with us a couple of weeks ago, and Chris Patola. Now, I don't normally do this, so I'm just going to read the South Sydney team because we do know that they are a weakened side, but when you go through the list here, it is quite scary. From a Bulldogs perspective, Blake Taff is the fullback. That's somebody we should be trying to sign. He's not maybe the first choice fullback at Souths, obviously, with Latrell Mitchell being there, but Blake Taff, I really rate him. I think we've spoken about him before, actually.
Good fullback, pretty decent goal kicker.
Alex Johnson on the wing, and Tyrone Munro, who looks like a mini GI after his debut game.
Good try for him. Congratulations to him. Good to see.
Isaiah Tass, Tane Milne in the centres. The halves are Dean Hawkins and Lachlan Ilias.
Two great players.
Forwards, Savita Tautola and Thomas Burgess is the captain. Savili Havili is in the hooker position. Ben Lovett, Michael Cheekham, second row. Shaq Mitchell at lock. Peter Mamzelis on the bench with Talis Duncan, Davey Mowale and Hame Selle. Richard Kenner, Josiah Karapani, Daniel Solka-Fofita, Liam Knight and Jacob Gaga. Liam Knight's fallen down the pecking order there, hasn't he?
I'd say what, Liam Knight, if he was out with us, he'd be playing.
Oh, for sure.
And Richard Kenner.
Yeah. And probably Daniel Solka-Fofita.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of injuries, amount of players missing for the Rabbitohs this week. So even though they are weakened, they are looking like a team that should be able to get the chocolates against us on Saturday.
Which is quite embarrassing.
Yep. Apart from that, Scotty, Toby Sexton signed with us. What do you make of that?
I actually like Toby. He came through the Bulldogs ranks. I think he's a decent player. I like the way he plays. I think he's a genuine halfback, a good goal kicker, so hopefully he kicks the goals. One thing I don't like is that we signed him, and then we said, well, hopefully he can be at the Bulldogs in the afternoon. So is he at Belmore yet?
I was told it could be two. Well, I heard, sorry, this could be two to 3 days away from being at training. So he might get one training run before the game.
So that's another thing, too. And Gus did say we don't want to recruit any quick fixes. We get smashed 66-0, just signed a halfback, which I actually like Toby Sexton. I think, you know, he's a great player, and should have been someone where we do sign, but we got told we're not going for quick fixes, and we just signed someone automatic. But also playing him this week, I'm a bit find a bit odd. You know, he just signed name straight at number 7. You know, he might only get the one training session this week. Hopefully he doesn't get thrown to the wolves like a few others by Cameron Serrato. Seems he doesn't mind to do that. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think, you know, he's a more traditional halfback, a goal kicker. So hopefully he can take the goal kicking duties, because he's a much better goal kicker than what we have. But we haven't seen too much of our goal kicking recently, have we?
No, but you're right. I think that Sexton was made a bit of a scapegoat at the Titans for their poor season the year before. People should have been asking questions of the management up there for letting Fogarty go to the Raiders. That was a bit of a shock. It really hurt the Titans season last year. But yeah, he is more of a traditional sort of halfback. He's a player that I've enjoyed watching in the past, especially when he first came into the NRL. He had all the skills that you wanted from a halfback. So, yeah, the biggest concern is, yeah, like you said, we're not after quick fixes. We sign a player the next day. I think even Serrano was saying that in the post-match press conference, we're not looking for the quick fix. And then we've signed, albeit a young sort of rookie half in himself. I am excited to see how he goes in the team. But, yeah, it's going to be difficult arcs given he has he might only have one or two training sessions under his belt before.
You think next week?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure he'll play though, given the fact that we announced his signing officially the day of Teamless Tuesday and put him straight into the team. So I think he'll play. But it does, when you see it on paper though, Sexton 7 and Burden 6, that does look better. But we'll see how it plays out on the field.
That's true. And then, I mean, there's a host of other changes. This is the first time I think Kimo Chida hasn't threatened to swing the axe, and the axe has been swung.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I don't know if you saw the post-match press conference, but someone asked him going to actually make some changes, and he got a little bit snarky and said he's been making changes every week.
But the axe has been swung. for quite a few players. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out. It looks like Brandon Burns might be a regular in our team now that Jack Everlow shifted the fullback. Paitamoli gone as well.
Yeah.
For Jackson Topini. I noticed too, Paitamoli was shifted to the other side.
Yeah.
Wasn't playing next to the Fox.
It's another player that's had had a very poor game that we haven't really spoken about.
Yeah, well, he's. I don't think he's had not the best year. And again, we had other players like Brandon Burns, who was available for most of the year. He could have been playing. He could have eased him into top grade in between games. I feel like, yes, it's a tough gig coaching. But I think in every opportunity Kevin Serrano could get it right, he's got it wrong. In almost every opportunity so far.
Yeah,
there's other ways we could have been a lot better this year.
Maybe we've got Serrano for another 4 years based off his contract. I think we just need to hope that he learns from any mistakes he made this year and would better for it in the next year. I think the biggest disappointment for Bulldogs fans is there's so much promise at the start of the year. And I'm not talking about preseason. There was a lot of promise and a lot of Bulldogs were doing a lot of good things off the field. We're getting quite excited as a fan base. But even the results in the first 8 weeks or so, we beat Melbourne in Melbourne. Serrano was chasing Barrett's win record of the previous season pretty quickly.
The previous 52, yeah.
Yeah, there's just a bit of optimism around the Bulldogs could finish like 10th or 11th. I think we'd be okay with that. And then I think we'd be okay with that if the same messaging from the club that's come out this week was coming out, but we were in 10th.
Yes.
You know, the fact that we're third last and we're in a group of our own now. It's a free horse race for the spoon. And then hearing that sort of messaging after that result is the word of the week's going to be disappointing.
Very, very disappointing. I just feel like we've chucked up a lot of excuses as a club, and I feel like that's something that we don't really stand for is excuses. But there's been other possible, like, you know, saying they didn't want to play Rajab and Kyle Olaopu this early in their careers, but you had Reynolds there and Flanagan and Farmy Brown and.
The interesting thing about Olaopu, and we're a bit all over the place in this episode, of probably anyone that's listened to this far. Good on you. Apologies for that. But one of the main reasons that was in the media that Olaopu left the Broncos and left his contract early was he didn't want to play lock. And now Gus is saying he's a lock. So maybe that's something to look out for going forward.
Yeah, I don't. It's very crazy. There's been opportunities to play and they talk about lack of experience, but you look at Joshy Reynolds, who's got an abundance of experience there, and Brandon Burns, who's played a lot of New South Wales Cup this year, another man with experience, Flanagan. So the experience excuse, just that's a cop-out, if I've ever heard one. And saying that like it wasn't like all of them were unavailable together, and that was literally all we had. So I think there's a few little cop-out excuses they're going to chuck at us. But I think, I suppose, the fans who are paying more attention and passionate know the New South Wales Cup side has a lot of experience in it.
Yeah. All right, Scotty, unless if there's anything else you might want to add, we might leave it at that. I will throw out there, we should have thought of this beforehand. Maybe we'll do it for next week. Me and you go away. We'll watch the game, the NRL game this week, the New South Wales Cup game this week. But, we'll come back next week with our own 17s
and see
how they compare to what the actual team that's running out at the moment. Now, we'll go off the public information that's out there. So if there's public information that a player is injured, obviously we can't consider them because they're injured. But obviously we won't have any sort of other sort of inside knowledge or we won't take any rumours. But apart from that, anything that's public knowledge, we'll
go with it.
We'll both come back with our teams next week, and we'll see how that sort of differs from the team that gets named for the following week at Belmore.
Done.
All right, well, that's something to look forward to, I guess. We'll leave it at that. It is quite a depressing episode, unfortunately, but if you listen this far, thanks, guys. Hopefully it turns around quicker than 5 years. And hopefully see a few of you guys at the footy on Saturday.
Have a good week.